symptoms, but you can still spread the virus to others. Regardless of where you traveled or what you did during your trip, CDC recommends you take these actions to protect others from getting sick. Wear a mask when in public. Maintain social distance approximately 6 feet from others. Wash your hands often and watch your health. Look for symptoms of COVID-19 and stay home if you feel sick. Follow state and local recommendations or requirements after travel. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6 p.m. Time for Off the Wall. This is Emmanuel. Welcome. Joined tonight by Kyle.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Come in.
I see you, too. So it's
come in.
Whether our listeners are able to hear us is another question, but I think broadcasting remotely, as we have been doing for the past year, It's no, I'm enjoying it. It's great. It's wonderful.
Copy that.
And we can travel, too. We can go different places, except for the fact that we can't travel. But if we could travel, we could be doing this show from anywhere.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, it's like, well, you know, if you don't feel so well, which I wasn't feeling great today. I was, like, a little bit lethargic.
Hold on a second. You don't get to say that, because I'm feeling lethargic today.
All right, well, I beat you to it. But the point is, they say, you know, you're not supposed to do a lot of travel or go on campus if you don't... So I'm not on campus. I'm able to take advantage of the remote broadcast that has worked out. I think what happens, I caught a little bit of that March Madness. Usually I like to do March on my own, like do my own thing. I don't like to get involved in that stuff. I wasn't a big like follower of that event, but I watched the Stony Brook women's team.
It was on ESPN2 yesterday.
It was really cool. But
Stony Brook women's basketball team played Arizona in Texas yesterday on ESPN2. What a game! I mean, Stony Brook lost, but what an accomplishment to get there.
And I just so impressed with the action and some of the play. I haven't been really up on their season and different players and positions.
A lot of winning.
Unbelievable.
Got sick
stuff.
Of the winning. So
it was ridiculous. Yeah, there was, well, all the teams, but just really incredible shots and stuff that just blew me away.
Uh-huh.
And so it was cool to get kind of caught up on that and at least root for the teams that were playing. And I saw some of the other games, the men's games too, some schools that I was familiar with. And
you know, on USB here, on this radio station, we broadcast a lot of sports. And this year, it's been incredible. Lacrosse, basketball, football, even softball and baseball. Every single one of those games is therapy. It really is. It's like it's a step towards normalcy that people really, really need. Students really need this, and I think our listeners need it as well. I know WUSB staffers, we need this. Anything that kind of brings the campus community back in some kind of activity with hope for the future that this is going to be behind us before long. And we'll be back to where we've been in the past. So I think these games mean more than they've ever meant before.
Me, I'm with you on that. I was just thinking that the sports department here has been very, very busy. There's a lot of programming, a lot of activities that were moved and shuffled around in the year, and then a lot of things occurring as the season allows and weather and so forth. Everyone wants to get out there and be active already, so it's welcome. And they did an incredible job. I was able to cut the volume down on the television broadcast, but brought up the radio broadcast. Now, it wasn't perfect because the TV was behind.
I just realized this, but WUSB is 15 seconds ahead of ESPN.
It's true.
I didn't know that. Wow.
So we got shots called from the radio broadcast before they occurred on the TV.
Kyle, this next one's going to go in.
Yeah, you seemed to know what shot was coming next, but It was kind of cool to watch. And
if you're looking to gamble, folks, and we're not advising that you do, but if you are, you do want to win. So if a game is ever on ESPN again, that's also on WUSB, have it going to your headphones, and listen and bet in a bar or something, and you'll be able to make a lot of money before they figure out what you're doing and you have to run for your life.
It's a possible thing you could participate in, or you could just enjoy the game, or maybe bet a beer. Or whatever drink you're having, a bowl
whatever
of peanuts.
Whatever beer you don't mind having poured over your head later when it's when it's discovered.
They get low stakes, so it's
yeah,
good fun.
Congrats to the women's team.
Absolutely,
basketball this year, gone farther than ever before. And it was a heartbreak last year because they had also gone further, and the whole thing was canceled at that point because of COVID. And this year, there wasn't a crowd or anything like that. But at least I got to play, and that really counts a lot. So, what else?
Well, I guess speaking of therapy, this is all therapy. We're here talking to our listeners. I do want to remind everyone that we're fundraising. As difficult as that may be.
Yes. Please call 631-632-6901. Operators are, well, if you don't get an operator, you'll get a place where you can leave information or a callback number. I know it's kind of a low tech right now, but this is what community radio is all about, and your pledge really, really matters and keeps WUSB on the air as we have been since 1977. 631-632-6901.
Yeah, we'll give that phone number out, and be patient. There's just a few volunteers. We're a community radio station on the campus of Stony Brook University, and we depend on your contributions. So 631-632-6901. Operators are standing by, as they say, and I did want to get that there because it keeps us going, keeps our ability to broadcast and bring news and events and so forth.
And you can get all kinds of neat premiums like T-shirts and coffee mugs, which can also be used for tea, I understand, and all sorts of other things that the people who answer the phone can tell you about. You can have a pledge that is made every month for a small amount. You can have a pledge that's made every month for a large amount. You can do whatever you want. The important thing is to call that number, 631-632-6901. Keep us on the air. Keep WUSB going, because we are the only radio station of its kind anywhere in the area, on Long Island. There is nothing like us on Long Island. We know. We travel around and we listen to the radio, and it's either NPR, it's religion, or it's commercial. And then there's us.
And we certainly do not want to do this that often or ad nauseum. We know everyone is strapped in various ways. There are challenges, economic and otherwise, all around us. But if you have the time, if you can contribute even $5, $10, whatever it can be for your contribution, take the time. It may seem silly. Oh, I'm going to spend 10, 20 minutes to give $5, $10. It matters.
Look,
it adds up.
If we go up to somebody and say, hey, WUSB listener, please give us $60, you might have a reason not to do that. But if we go up to that same listener and say, could you maybe do $5 a month? In a year, that's $60. And since we, you know, really only do this once or twice a year, that's basically the same thing. So please, that would help us an incredible amount. 631-632-6901. $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever you can afford.
Join other underwriters, other listeners, and the myriad of ways. The university supports the station to a large degree. We're able to do so much with so little here. And that magic, that is what makes us unique and keeps us around and enduring amidst so much sameness and really stuff that doesn't bring you as much, and we pride ourselves on that unique flavor, and we want to inspire and bring in new producers and new interesting ideas, maybe radio documentaries or different productions. I know that there's all kinds of projects and things that were in the works, that are in the works, that will get the campus community engaged with the producers and talent who volunteer at the station. All of those things are still possible with your contribution.
And another reason why I think people should contribute, you might be listening to us, well, obviously you're listening to us now, but you might just listen to us once a week. We're on for 1 hour, 1 hour out of, what is it, 144 hours in a week? Is that, for some reason, that number is in my head. Every single other hour of the week, something else is on. Someone else is on. Let's put our money where our mouth is, which doesn't really apply in this case. But what's another show that we listen to sometimes that we think is great? You have anything that springs to mind?
Well, the previous show, The Duopoler Effect, that's a good show. Over the weekend stuff.
Oh, is that the afternoon show?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. At 4 o'clock. I'm sorry, before Democracy Now, Duopoler Effect is on. There's
it's not show the Invisible Show.
Invisible Show.
What is that on? That's on what, Saturday night or something?
It's early Saturday morning.
And what do they play?
Really, really strange mix, but a really driving. Kind of a lot, a mix of like techno, maybe industrial music, and it's out there, and it's at that strange kind of weird early week, because it's pre-Sunday, but it's this mysterious, like, post-club Saturday night time, that strange hour, and the music just is incredible.
That's gotten us through a lot, that show. Over the last year, radio has done that for so many people. We've heard that, and that's why every single nugget of WUSB is priceless. Street FM is another show I listen to all the time, hip-hop Monday evenings. And it's done so well. This could be on any radio station in the country, I think, that has standards. There are so many different forms of music and news and opinion that are presented throughout the week on this station. Nobody gets paid. We all do it for the love and the sanity. And you make it possible by supporting us. 631-632-6901. That's our phone number.
I think Equilibrium is another show that's on Mondays.
Uh-huh,
really, really fantastic music lineup then.
All right, let's not
Jazz on the Air.
Of course,
Donna
Jazz on the
was
Air.
On. She was just on this week.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. There's so many excellent, amazing. We haven't even talked about reggae and stuff.
No, we haven't. Because if we started talking about that, it would be the rest of the hour.
All we're saying, support community radio, support WUSB, 631-632-6901. Anytime. People will take your call and really graciously accept your contribution.
I think we need to mention that Finn follows us at 7 o'clock for two hours of incredible music, interviews, commentary, another awesome show.
Arts, concerts when they're going on.
Spiny Norman.
Oh,
my God. Every alternate Wednesday, this guy's on the air playing music, playing selections. I don't know where he finds these things.
John O., Salvage and Recovery.
Uh-huh.
That's on.
Okay, all right.
Sounds of Film.
Just going to be listing the entire schedule. So, I think we've made our point. 631-632-6901. Please call, support us, keep us going, because there's all kinds of gems that have popped up. And think of all the gems in the future that will be here because this place remains. Okay, so let's get on to our show.
So, about reality.
Yeah, about reality.
I don't mean to burst the hopeful and inspirational message of community radio and giving.
Well, that's our job.
A lot of stuff's been going on, man.
Yeah.
How you doing with that?
Well, I've been dealing with just not feeling great to start with, like you've been feeling. I think it's just a lot of pressure, and I realize a lot of pressure has been coming down on me this week. You know, just all kinds of obligations of things that have to be done, projects I'm in the middle of. I've got my second shot is coming up this week. I've got to go back to the dentist. Remember that thing a couple of years ago, finishing that off finally, but it's another thing I have to show up for and take precautions, and it's pressure.
It's like normal activity, but it's got this layer of, okay, but how do you deal with that in light of what we're dealing with? And are we out of the woods? Are we still in the woods? Do we even know where the woods are?
Yeah, yeah. So there's all these things that are pressing that have to be taken care of. And I just realized, you know, I'm taking it too seriously. I need to step back and just take it at my own pace, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm not doing everything I need to do immediately, but I am doing it. But I'm just sort of sitting back trying to keep the pressure off. And I think everyone has the right to do that, has the ability to do that. We might not know it. We might not realize that we can just say, oh, you know what, I'll do that later. I'll answer that phone call later. I'll return that email later. I don't have to do everything right now. And I feel saner as a result. And hopefully there won't be too many ramifications for me putting some things on the back burner.
Yeah, having that flexibility, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Seize it wherever it is in your life, because it's scarce in various moments, especially when things pick up and people want to have that, you know, pace that they'd been used to a year ago. Or
yeah, but
before.
you always have the final say, as if you're comfortable moving at a certain pace, and if you're not, just step back and relax and feel good about yourself and get back into the swing of things when you're ready. Simple as that.
Yeah,
It sounds simple, but it's hard to do.
Easier said than done, yes. Yeah. So self-care, taking the time and not driving yourself too mad is a good start to deal with the background of hate.
Oh, yes, that. Another week of madness. You know, it's crazy, but it's almost a sign of normalcy when the mass shootings start again. You know, that, oh, lockdown's over, now it's time to start killing each other again. Two mass shootings within a week, one targeting Asian Americans in Atlanta, another targeting a grocery store in Boulder, Colorado, total of 18 people killed. It's sick.
How senseless. Senseless. Like, over for what?
Mm-hmm.
And not that anything like this is justified, either case, ever, really.
Yeah.
But, and the way, of course, we're hearing it described, I think, what was it, the police officer describing the guy as having a bad day? That did not land well?
The guy, as well as shouldn't have landed well, the guy in Atlanta, Atlanta and surroundings, who targeted Asian Americans, he's saying, yeah, the guy, you know, this cop is basically the spokesperson for the killer. That's how it's playing, and he honestly doesn't see what he's doing. And this happens time and time again. When this happened at first, I was saying to people, I can't wait to find out what it is that disturbed this guy. You know, I can't wait to hear about his music, his favorite music, and where he lost faith. Yeah, because that's always what happens when some guy goes on a rampage. You forget about the victims, particularly if they're minorities, and you just focus on where did he go wrong? Where did we fail him? And that's what this cop was doing. He was saying, yeah, he had a bad day, and this is what he did. This is what he did? You know, I mean, what they should be focusing on are the victims primarily, and their families, because they're victims as well. And not just focusing on humanizing this guy, because yeah. What he did was an inhuman act. And to say that it's not a racial thing because he said it wasn't a racial thing, that's literally what the cop said, that the guy said it was a sex addiction thing, but it wasn't racial, so we're going to believe him. Yeah, he just happened to shoot 90% Asian people, and you're going to go with that. It's sickening.
It was really unnecessary. He didn't need to say absolutely one. Didn't need to say a word about motive. Why are you all of a sudden the defense for this guy? Like, it should have been cut and dry. Like, he didn't need to give that level of detail about what this person had said to them. That leave that for the report. Leave that for the trial. I mean, what? What business of it? I mean, yes, the media is interested. They want to know why, yes, but you don't necessarily have to give them an answer that's terrible.
Right.
Just because they're
give them the facts.
Pressing you.
Give them,
yeah.
If they need a name, give them a name. They can look into his history or whatever. That's their job. Let them do that. But we don't need to glorify the name or have it be on everybody's lips because that's just basically giving somebody publicity for something horrible that they've done. But this guy, he was a spokesman for the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office, Jay Baker, Captain Jay Baker. And what he said was that this guy was pretty much fed up and kind of at the end of his rope. And that Tuesday was a really bad day for him, and this is what he did. And it turns out that Jay Baker had posted racist things about Haitians in the past on his Facebook page or something like that. And How many times do we have to go through this nonsense before we realize, hey, we've got a real problem in this country? You know, this is not something that people are making up, and here is the evidence right in front of you.
And you send that guy out. He was not the public information officer to be delivering.
Well, maybe he was the best they had. I don't know.
Maybe he was the best they had, but that's the guy. Okay.
Yeah. And then, of course, yesterday in Boulder, Colorado, 10 people killed in a supermarket. You know, I see Republicans today, why don't they just shut up? Seriously, why don't you just shut your stupid mouth? But they're saying how people are attacking the Second Amendment. Really, you're going to say this now while you know, the blood hasn't even been cleaned up yet, and that's what you're going to pounce upon? It's disgusting. And what's even more disgusting is the fact that so many people want to do something about this. They're fed up. And, you know, I count politicians, I count regular citizens like you and me, I count law enforcement. People realize we have a serious problem in this country as far as guns and high-capacity weapons, and we want change. Yep. But we can't get change because of those same stupid Republicans that refuse to let anything happen. And Democrats are spineless and won't get rid of the filibuster. And I realize you get rid of the filibuster, it's declaring war on the Republicans, and you won't ever cooperate with them again. They're not cooperating now. Look around you. They're voting against everything that you bring up. Everything. Without exception. So, it's already, that ship has sailed.
It's already war.
Yeah, it's already that way. So, if you want to make change, you have to do something. You have to do something dramatic. I think Joe Biden gets this. But does the Senate? No. The rest of the Senate does not. I mean, yeah, most of the Senate, most of the Democrats in the Senate do, but there are a few who don't. And that's enough to basically stymie anything unless something else is thought of. And I think people are really fed up now. I think people really are at the end of their ropes. And we all need something to change because we've seen this before. We've witnessed this so many times before where something horrible happens. We all want change. Republicans say no. That's the way it goes over and over and over again. You know, something has to give. And I'll tell you, you know, everyone's pointing at Joe Manchin as the one person standing in the way. It's more than that. It's more than that because the majority should be bigger. You know, it shouldn't be 50-50. And that's on the people. And the people need to get more unified. There are more people that support this than don't support it. But if we're just going to focus on one person as the problem, it's not going to really change anything. We have to organize ourselves. I guarantee you, if 50,000 people surrounded Joe Manchin, his mansion, or wherever he works, you know, in West Virginia. Are there that many people that care in West Virginia? I think there are. I think there are amazing people in West Virginia, but those people have to be vocal and loud. This is what Republicans do. How do you think a crazy person like Trump gets where he gets? Because he's able to round up these stadiums full of people. Well, I think our side has stadiums full of people, too. It's just they never get organized, and they're kind of reluctant to show up in huge numbers like that. But I think you put that kind of pressure on the people that are the sway votes, that will change them. That will change. If you just, you know, complain about them in op-eds, that's not going to be enough.
You have to make the politicians realize that, look, these people vote, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're out here, and they want my attention. They're commanding my attention.
And they inspire other people. When you have lots and lots of people chanting and showing up and just making their presence known, other people say, yeah, I'm with them. I agree. That makes sense. And they're on the news then, and it's actually being talked about.
But it's about reminding them that this is a lot more dynamic a institution than they may have become comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is too easy to say, well, oh, my constituents will support me in not allowing this to go forward. Well, there are other constituents who don't feel that way, who will also
right.
Want to maybe convince you of how they feel about it. And I think when people get a taste of functioning government,
mm-hmm.
when things are working for them, why is reluctance to this side that is basically sitting on everything and refusing to cooperate, they're going to say, you know what, there are too many things that are too important to get done. And in the face of violence like this, it's just too obvious. And, yeah, I don't know. When you started with saying that there's talk about the Second Amendment, just let them talk. Let them talk. It's tempting, and there should be some refuting of things there, but they're just talking.
I think you nailed it when you said we get a taste of it. When we get a taste of change, that's when we get inspired to change more. When we're constantly told over and over again, this will never change, you can't change this, it won't happen, then you get defeatist and you stop trying. We need victories. We need to see change happen. And we need to counter those idiots when they say things like, well, you can't prevent people from getting whatever weapons they want. Yeah, you can. You can and you should. Because that is how a sane society exists. Don't listen to Lee Zeldin. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't listen to Ted Cruz, who pretends like he cares. These people don't care about you. Basically, when they bring up these crazy arguments, you have to counter them. You have to counter them with logic. And you know, if they say something insane like, well, if we have gun control, then only the bad guys will have guns. Okay, so you're basically saying there are too many guns. Is that what you're saying? You press them on this. Press them on these points. So if you could, would you make all guns stop working now? You know, hypotheticals like that. Get them on the record to say, yeah, we have a problem with too many guns in this country. We have a problem with so many weapons, we've lost control. If we could go back and do it better, this is what we should have done. Get to that common ground, at least, and go from there. But right now, it's just basically insanity, where they just will keep saying Bill of Rights and, you know, Second Amendment, and if you don't support us, then you're anti-American and nonsense like that. We can't let them keep getting away with it. We just can't. And I hope that the mood in this country has changed to the degree where we're going to push back, where we're going to fight these people and win. I really, really hope that's happened. I think Joe Biden is pissed off enough to make it happen. Let's see.
Yeah, absolutely. Just do not be diminished. I mean, there's a lot said from that has been antagonistic about really a majority sentiment, a mandate in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So if in your community or if in your family you've been made to feel like, you know, you're the radical or you're so crazy for wanting perhaps background checks or you know, you have these wild ideas about labor and equal pay and stuff, like, remember you're not to be diminished. You are part of a majority right now and really have been for quite a while. It's mm-hmm. just that this outsized influence has been in a maniacal sort of control against a lot of really important stuff, and
it
helps people.
And the other side has been manipulated to the degree where background checks are considered a big deal. That should be the minimum. That should be the absolute minimum. And if we get background checks, we're going to act like that's a main victory. It doesn't really solve a lot because all those guns are still out there. You know, we need some kind of responsibility, some kind of accountability, and also just the way that we've allowed interpretation of the Second Amendment to be completely distorted, when it's very clear inside that statement of the Second Amendment that a well-regulated militia is what it's all about, and there's nothing well-regulated about what's going on in this country. So all of that needs to be examined and thought through, and adapted for modern times, because everything else is adapted for modern times. The world changes. We were talking about how Republicans are distorting things. This is really annoying me. Talk of the border and the crisis at the border. Yeah, there's a crisis at the border. And I think, you know, Democrats should say it's a crisis. I don't think what word they use is really the issue. But the fact of the matter is, there are all these kids, thousands of kids, unaccompanied kids that have come to the United States, sent here by their parents, allegedly. You know, as young as 6 or 7. It's insane to see. And Republicans are getting up on their high holy horses, accusing Democrats of doing what they were doing, keeping all these kids captive, when, in fact, what is happening is a direct result of Trump's policy over the past 4 years, where people are desperate And now they see an opportunity, and of course they're going to try and take that opportunity. Basically, when Republicans say that Democrats are responsible for this horrible situation at the border, what they're saying is Democrats aren't sending children away. They're upset that they're not sending kids back.
It's because they're giving them due process.
They're accepting them. A child shows up at the border, and the new policy is, okay, come in, wait your turn. Now, why are there so many of them? It's because of Trump there are so many of them, because of what's been going on over the last 4 years.
Well,
of course there are going to be more people now. And it's a horrible situation. There's no denying that. But to blame the Democrats? No. This is exactly the responsibility of the people beforehand. You know, the Steve Millers, the horrible Nazis that are doing terrible things to people. Really terrible things. And this is not something that Democrats should be blamed for. They should be thanked for actually treating them like human beings. And yeah, it's overcrowded. That's to be expected, because what would you have them do? You know? And if you ask them this, if you ask them, okay, so what should they do? The answer will be send them back. And that, to me, that is unacceptable.
It's really also long-term. I mean, this is an acute thing. This is immediately going on right now at the border. But long-term, it's about the systemic, the overarching interest in migration due to violence, due to opportunity. And all of that, I think, will actually be looked at, because this administration has a little bit more depth in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, yeah, and I think a lot of people in the country are recognizing that this is has a lot more to do with the drug war. And I think there's some atoning that Joe Biden needs to do regarding the drug war and just the outsized influence of that campaign over decades, and what kinds of side effects have occurred as a result of that. But I did hear also that, thankfully, I think the San Diego Exhibition Center
mm-hmm.
is going to be converted into a short-term living situation for the youngest of those migrants. I think there's 4,000 or something,
uh-huh.
and they're doing something like that, or there's plans in the works for something like that to deal with the volume right now. And, of course, you've seen the news and leadership discouraging. I think it was on like 60 Minutes or something over the weekend. Joe Biden was saying something about not wanting to encourage people to come at this moment,
mm-hmm.
and saying don't leave your country. And I heard that and I felt like, wow, you know, that is a certain sort of sadness for why people have to leave their countries in the first place.
Look, if you are in fear for your life, leave your country.
Yeah,
definitely try and come to any country that will welcome you. And that's, you know, the real problem is, why do they feel like they have to do this? Why are people living in such squalor and misery? That is something that we as global citizens need to address, not just in the United States, everywhere. But that is not something Republicans will ever say.
It's laudable to at least see the administration trying to grapple with that a little bit and then address it, the acute sort of big need, which is, a lot of people need housing immediately because they're going to be processed for asylum, or at least get a hearing on it, as they should.
Well, look at that. It's already time for our weekly feature, Films of the Year That Was, where we journey out and see an Academy Award-winning film, at least one per week, foreign and domestic. And this week, I believe, we saw the foreign film winner for 1994. What is the title of this film, Kyle?
Utomlin.
In English, please.
So, Burnt by the Sun.
Burnt by the Sun.
Or, the transliteration, I'm told, means wearied by the sun.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I was wearied by the film. It's a Russian film.
It's a stark.
It's,
we were due.
It was stark, all right.
We were due for a nice stark Soviet Red Army film.
Well, it's post-Soviet, 1994,
yeah.
but they had, there was Soviet era they were talking about, and obviously they had issues. And, of course, who doesn't have issues with Stalin?
A Soviet retrospective.
Yeah, so back in, I think, the 1930s is when this story took place. 1936.
Yeah.
Boy, it was confusing. I don't know Russian, obviously. We were watching the subtitles. But, in a Fellini-type style, they just introduced all these characters at once in some crazy household. And I was just, I didn't know who was who and what they were doing. And they were just saying crazy things and doing crazy things. I think it took a good hour and a half before a semblance of a plot started to emerge. But the cultural differences are interesting. For one thing, okay, the film starts with this scene inside, what do they call those houses where you take saunas?
Oh,
there's a word for those.
What, a sauna?
A sauna. Well, it's like a house, a wooden house. And
well, it was like a removed...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a word for it, but whatever. Point is...
it's like a little hut.
The main protagonist is in one of these little huts. And he's got his daughter, stark naked, 6 years old, on top of him, like, is she hitting him with something? With, like...
branches.
Branches,
she's,
yeah.
She's doing part of the treatment or whatever he
and,
is.
And this is... It turns out, actually, she's his daughter in real life, too. And he's a director. I didn't know that at the time. So the protagonist is a director. He's got his real daughter there, stark naked, hitting them with... and, you know... I know cultures are different and things like that, but imagine that kind of thing happening here. I mean, Ronan Farrow would be, you know, coming around to, like, ask all kinds of questions pretty soon, and there'd be a big scandal. But you have to understand, cultures are different, and this was considered somewhat normal in Russian culture of the time, I guess, and maybe even now. And there's a lot to learn, I suppose, but...
Well, also, the bathing and sauna culture itself is very much like a family kind of activity. It's part of daily life, right? It's so
yeah, try that here. Try that here.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Uh-huh.
It's a whole thing. We don't have that as much in the U.S., and I don't know. I guess we go to gyms.
But it's probably the most minor aspect of the film, and yet it's something I just can't get past. Like, wow, this is really what they do, and this is really how it's being presented. And this is the Academy Award-winning film of the year. Okay, you know, I learned something.
Well, you realize it's different right from the beginning, and so he's running out, barely able to clothe himself from his sauna, and it's because the Red Army tanks are there, and the peasants are warning, they're freaking out, and
yeah.
He is the one who can tell them what's what and get these tanks out of here.
No, that's the other thing I don't understand. Why were those tanks there? I mean, they were already in the Soviet Union. Why are Soviet tanks marching on their town? Were they just driving through? They were going to destroy the crops? I guess. Maybe that's what they did. But it wasn't clear. Maybe it's clear to a Russian audience, but it wasn't clear to me what in the world was going on. But he did stop it. He did stop, and he's a hero, obviously. That was made clear that this guy has power. But basically what the next couple of hours show you is that he has an enemy, somebody that... actually turned out to be anti-Soviet years earlier and was sent away. I think he wound up in Paris or something like that. But now he's back, and somehow he is able to frame this guy, who's a hero, and a friend of Stalin, too. But he's able to just, with a word, turn him into a traitor and have him executed, which is what happens in the end. I'm sorry if I ruined it for you. But it lacked the punch. You know, the drama of getting you there.
I knew he was a spy. I was on that.
The other guy.
Oh, fully.
Yeah.
Immediately. He's, like, showing up, super coy, getting along with the ladies,
uh-huh.
You know.
And he had a love interest with the wife of the guy.
Pulling him aside, mm-hmm. You know, doing all this, like, let's have a little heart-to-heart, you know, get all deep and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
But all you had to do was say somebody was a traitor, and that was enough, if you were the right person. And I guess that's real, but I just think it could have been portrayed in a more dramatic way.
Yeah.
Where you felt like you were part of that transition. There wasn't really fear until the very, very end.
He catches him off guard.
Yeah, and you learn the fate of everybody. You say, okay, this guy was arrested and shot, and his wife was arrested and died in the gulag, and even the 6-year-old daughter was arrested, but she was cleared later on. But get this, Kyle. This is I read up about this.
Yeah, why wouldn't Koltov be onto Mitya hating him and blaming him?
You're saying names of people you haven't introduced. So Koltov is who?
The protagonist.
Okay.
That is got pull and then is helping. That is betrayed. By
well,
the
anyway, guy. The point is, we hear their fates. Do you know they made a sequel to this film?
No.
Yeah, they made a sequel to this film with a couple of the same guy and his daughter again. She's not naked this time, I don't think. But for some reason, she's an adult, even though the events take place not too long after. And somehow he isn't shot. They basically just kind of ignore what happened, and they proceed with a sequel where they all live. It didn't do well. That sequel did not do well. This film did do well, but the sequel did not. So Burnt by the Sun 2, not recommended. I wouldn't recommend Burnt by the Sun, but it was an interesting cultural experience.
It surely was. It had an interesting story. It ties in some of the history and a little bit of intrigue, but it's subtle. And like you said, it wasn't a big run-up. And Kotyev is not, who the protagonist is not suspicious of it. It's very kind of cut and dry. It's you have this long story and build up, and then betrayal, shot dead without trial. Okay.
Yeah, that was a wrap. Well, that was the way of Stalin for sure. But
yeah,
just didn't feel like we were learning much about how that worked.
But it did have epilogue, right? Towards the end, it wrote up some of the.
Yeah, a couple of sentences about what happened to people. But
released in 1994 at the Cannes Film Festival and winner of Best Foreign Language Film.
All right, so it's on to 1995, and I see what's ahead, and I'm not looking forward to that, but we'll talk about that maybe next week if I can get through it. In the minutes that we have left, other things that have been going on?
We're not out of time?
Not yet, no, we still
haven't. I haven't even been watching the clock. I've been having this great conversation with our listeners who could call 631-632-6901 and pledge. The number again, 631-632-6901.
Keep WUSB going. Pledge whatever you can afford. Get a T-shirt, get a coffee mug, get a sweatshirt, all kinds of things that we have, which the people on the other end of the phone will either pick up or call you back.
And these aren't just anybody's. These are probably other producers, probably other DJs. They're volunteers. They're members of our radio station community.
Yeah, it's not a call center.
Who are working really, really hard. You never know who will pick up at the radio station. Be patient. Try again if you can't get through. Every dollar counts. We're really, really so appreciative that anyone out there listening can contribute. It doesn't take much, but if everyone participates and does a little bit, it gets us so far ahead of the game as far as operations at the station.
So, John Magufuli has died at age 61. He was the president of Tanzania, a prominent skeptic of the coronavirus, basically encouraged people to go around without masks, mass gatherings, all of that. No vaccines for Tanzanian citizens. Guess what he died of? He died of the COVID-19 virus. It's not being admitted.
Yeah, it's cardiac. They're calling it cardiac.
They're calling it heart trouble, but yeah. Pretty much a lot of people are indicating that yeah, in fact, it was and it stands to reason. Tanzania has not updated its COVID-19 cases or deaths since last May. So how could he die of COVID-19 if they're not even going to update anything since last May? But a doctor in Dar es Salaam, that's the capital, said to the BBC there has been a significant increase in the last 2 months in admissions of patients exhibiting respiratory symptoms consistent with COVID-19. And his main political rival, Tundu Lissu, alleged that the president was suffering COVID-19. He said last week, this is a president whose denial of COVID-19, whose attempts to cover it up, whose adamant refusal to take any action to combat the pandemic, who has thumbed his nose to the world, refused any international or regional cooperation to deal with COVID-19, and now he goes down with COVID-19. That is poetic justice to me. Well, he's speaking truth. He's being honest.
I don't want to get too fiery here, E, but...
How is this any different from Trump? How is it any different?
I was going to mention, let's not... I mean, he said what he said about everybody appreciating vaccines. Let's not forget that his stupid body
yes.
became infected with this disease.
Right.
And it could very much have killed him. In fact, he may have been very, very close to death.
It would have killed him.
Nature pulled his number.
It would have killed him were it not for the medical attention he received that he was not willing to give to other people. You know, you could call that a great injustice, but the fact of the matter is he was saved despite himself. And this kind of ignorance, you see it throughout the world, but it's especially absurd when it happens here in a place where we have access to so much and the facts are right there, you know?
And it's not stopped. There are places in this country, I think Tanzania, that was the country?
Yes.
They need vaccines. Because if they are in a rudderless, completely delusional state as far as leadership, where their actual leader is dying of this thing, and it has been completely... They need vaccines more than any... I mean, it should be urgent. And I feel the same way about Texas. You were mentioning me the other day about Governor Greg Abbott. How is he not in cuffs?
And Governor DeSantis from Florida, and a bunch of other governors who we don't talk about. Yeah, we're talking about Cuomo and his scandals.
Philandery.
And I believe Cuomo should go because there are some things that, like I said, you don't come back from. But that is not the lead story. The lead story are the governors who are killing people. And that's not an exaggeration. They are killing people by saying, it's over, there's no crisis anymore, come on down to spring break and overcrowd our cities. You are killing people. Just like Trump killed people by his ignorance, by his refusal to follow the science. Hundreds of thousands of people didn't have to die.
And in the future, don't forget, they're maintaining a present that is allowing variants to thrive. It's not just willfully infecting many other people. It's you're creating the circumstances for new occurrences of this particular virus to fester.
And one of them could beat the vaccine. And then we're right back at the beginning. That could happen because not enough people get the vaccine to start with. So, yeah, these things have consequences. And people should pay the price. People in charge should be paying the price for this. Instead, we let them off the hook. We don't talk about it. We don't confront. And that needs to happen so much more. It's really frustrating. We can't be timid about this. These are criminals. People who know the science, choose to ignore it, and think it's all going to work out. It's not working out. And people are paying the price for your stupidity and utter arrogance and just evilness. It's as nice as I can make it. All right, well, you know what? Let's try to end on a positive note. Well, actually, it's not positive because I'm frustrated. Where is marijuana legalization in New York? Come on already. How long is this going to drag out for? The rest of the country, South Dakota, for God's sake. It's legal in South Dakota now. New York, what's going on? Democrats have been the ones standing in the way of this. This could have been done 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But it's not. I want this done. I want it done now, okay? I'm not kidding around anymore. There is no reason on earth that marijuana should not be legal in New York State. Okay, why are we dragging behind everybody else at this point? The state legislature is close to a deal. I keep hearing it's around the corner. Well, we've been at this corner for a while now. Move your asses, New York. I'm not kidding around. This is really starting to get frustrating.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they need to just buy some warehouses and order from out of state or something while they're growing and getting their things off the ground. Whatever they got to do.
We need something positive.
Just mail order it to everybody who wants it, kind of like what they did in Ontario. I mean, they were very, very successful to the point where they had to tell the state, the Ontario scheme was doing so well, they had to get them to allow other online retailers mm-hmm. to compete. I think there was some issue with basically how successful it was. It wasn't allowing other entrants into the online space because people used it so reliably. But it's really pathetic here. Having grown up during Prohibition, I know there's a lot of people who experienced a lot more prohibition with cannabis, but I really have a tough time with the way things are out here. Mm-hmm. It's pathetic.
It is pathetic.
Do better, New York.
I don't understand it. This is an example of Democrats getting in their own way. This is something that just, they have the majority everywhere. More people are in favor of this than ever before. How are we not already in the midst of it? It would generate money. It's jobs everywhere. It's a positive development. Yeah, there are people against it. There always will be people against it. They're wrong, okay? And they'll adapt, just like they've adapted in other states and other parts of the world. New York should not be in the rear on this. We should be leading.
And there's absolutely, like, the agricultural aspects of it, the myriad of products and as you said, jobs, just contractors installing, you know, whatever kinds of retail or commercial buildings that this industry would want to occupy to thrive. It's there's so much there. I mean, you have where do you even start? You know, heavy machinery for fields and doing intelligent things with using reclaiming space and creating carbon sinks. There's a myriad of benefits. It's just so sad. Mm-hmm. I get too down about it, but I'm
hopeful.
That's
the problem. People get down on it, and they don't get angry enough. They don't actually start doing something and putting the pressure on. Again, surround their houses, surround their offices, surround them, and be loud and be obnoxious if you have to be. But that's how you get things done.
Yeah, I won't shut up about it.
Don't shut up.
Yeah.
Do not shut up about it.
Yeah. How many hours do we have?
Oh, you have 1 minute.
You know what? I'm not going anywhere.
You're going to have to shut up.
No, you can't make me.
No, Finn can make you. But again, 631-632-6901. We're at the end of our hour, but you're just at the beginning of your telephone dial, whatever that means. You can just make a call anytime, 631-632-6901. Pledge whatever you can afford, however often you wish to do it, and ask whatever premiums you want.
And remember, if you'd ever like to listen to Off the Wall on your smart device,
yes,
use the wake word.
Which is
then
what?
Say,
what's, oh, yeah, the wake word is...
whatever they say their wake word is.
I
don't care what your wake word is. I don't want to know about your wake word.
Altoona.
But after that, you say, play Off the Wall.
That should
radio.
Work. Off the wall
the
radio?
Off the wall radio show. I think that's what works.
Okay.
Yeah. Play the off the wall radio show.
And it'll play the most recent one, unless you've played one before, and then it'll remember what you played last, and you'll get to catch up.
And let's ban benzene.
Okay. Well, that's a whole other show.
Okay.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Stay tuned for Finn. Keep listening to WUSB Stony Brook. Call 631-632-6901.
Good night.
Bye. And don't forget to laugh.
Have you ever cried till you laugh? Have you ever laughed so hard you could cry? There's a laughter that makes you sad. You can laugh so hard that you'll die. Sad.
Yeah, that's right, Luthor and the Hand People right here. Give us a call. WUSB Stony Brook, 631-632-6901. And make a pledge to this station, this hold out in free radio land, you know. This place where no voices are curtailed, every voice is heard. And that's how we roll. All kinds of music, all kinds of opinions, all kinds of stuff. You just heard a great hour, as always, with Emmanuel and Kyle, and always entertaining comments on the news. Not necessarily just entertaining. Insightful. The entertaining parts, of course, they're talking about bad movies, which they seem to love. But there you go. Give us a call, 631-632-6901. That's 631-632-6901. Make a pledge. We have a great show coming up for you tonight. Stay tuned. Make a pledge. Make that call, 631-632-6901.